Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode, we are discussing inquisitions. Are we inquiring about inquisitions?
Yes, we are inquiring about each other's ideas of inquisitions and what inquisitions
masterful wordplay
are interesting throughout fiction and the real world, because inquisitions are...
The Inquisition is quite a show. Here we go. The Inquisition, because it's here to stay.
You know, much like any Inquisition, I was not expecting that.
Nobody ever expects the Spanish Inquisition.
No, they don't.
That's probably, it's one of the few Inquisitions that actually, throughout history, that actually has Inquisition in the name.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to take a hard pivot from where I think a lot of people are going. The best Inquisitor in my mind is Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds. Hans Landa.
Oh, that's a good shout. He's so fucking...
That
good.
Opening scene from Inglourious Basterds is the so best. The way that he pokes and prods and how much information he gathers without actually asking a question until maybe the 11th or 12th minute, or you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't ask the question. He gathers information, but he doesn't ask the direct question.
Yeah, I definitely have goosebumps just reliving that scene, which, like, there are probably 1,000 YouTube videos dissecting why it's like the perfect opening to a movie.
Yeah.
And you know,
which I think it is.
Yeah, they're all right, but also, you know, we're not going to get into that, but I think that is such a good point that, like, the, like, he's an inquisitor.
Absolutely.
And then, like, the Nazi regime is Inquisition.
Inquisitors is a fancy name for detective.
I think it's a detective with a different purpose. Like, they're not...
It's a narrower focus.
I think it's a broader focus, because like a detective is trying to solve a specific crime or specific incident. An inquisitor is looking into the broader elements of society. It's maybe, you know, it's, oh, what has gone wrong with our religion? You are not following the religious tenets that you should. Oh, we don't like these people and we want to find them. You know, it is, I think it's broader, and it's
interesting,
and it has more power behind it, more authority behind it, because it usually has
interesting
the state or some entity that can back them up, that you can kind of do whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's not crazy. I don't hate that.
Well, it's technically, it's like,
how big of a focus then does the Inquisition and Dragon's Age Inquisition have? Because that also is in the title, and I never got far enough in the game to really fully understand what the fuck was going on.
There is no Inquisition. I think it's just
like, it didn't seem like it's just like, there's the Inquisition, and then there's the Herald, and I'm like, but when does the investigating start?
I think,
when does it begin?
I think what that game did a great job with the idea of Inquisition is nail the idea that a religious group, you know, the church, the chantry in that, just says, well, we are beginning an Inquisition and basically creating a temporary position, much like a dictator in ancient Rome, like to say, we are proclaiming you dictator, you have all the power, you do the thing. And I think the Inquisition in that game is that. It's, we have an issue, the chantry will declare Inquisition, make you Inquisitor, and you gain a lot of power to go solve this problem.
Yeah.
And I think that is interesting, but it doesn't then lead into any...
Doesn't have manifest in the game at all.
Not really, no. It's just, you know, you are what you are. But
that's why I got bored with it. I'm like, well, I was promised Inquisition. Where inquiring minds want to know, where is this Inquisition and how do I get to it?
Like, on the other end, I think you also have the people who are being really inquisitive, but don't have like a singular goal in mind.
Yeah.
You know,
you need a goal. You need to be, you're rooting something out. You're trying to identify an enemy of a body
or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Shout out to the First Law trilogy. They have, you know, like an Inquisition, a government department, essentially, which is like led by the Grand Inquisitor.
Sure.
And their HQ is called the House of Questions. And I think
that's cool. I like that.
And they're basically just torturers and like, they're conniving and they're scheming and like, they're really compelling within the world. But the idea of the House of Questions, and that they just, their whole thing is scheming and extracting information and then blackmailing people and using that on behalf of the state.
Right.
In some way, but they all, you know, all the ulterior motives or whatever. Yeah. I think that's a great example of it. I think, I know you have been reading Mistborn finally and really, really enjoying the Steel Inquisitors.
Steel Inquisitors are great.
They are,
They're half Inquisitor, half agents from the Matrix.
And they have steel rods through their eyeballs.
Shoved through their eyeballs.
And that is insane.
It's pretty cool.
And I don't remember. How do they see? How do they know where to go?
I'm not far enough in the book to know. We haven't revealed that. I'm assuming allomancy, but
they might just be led by some divine-ish element. Who knows?
I think it's magic. I'm going to assume it's allomancy in some form or another. Yeah. I don't know. I just got through the fight scene where one of them almost kills Vin, and it was just great. It felt like the first Matrix movie where it's like, if you see one of these things, just run.
Yeah.
You have no chance. Just run.
Yeah.
And that actually captured the terror that I think people are thinking about when you are facing down an Inquisitor or an Inquisition, just like Hans Landa, where the French farmer in the beginning is immediately scared shitless. That's the vibe that you really want to be going for. There has to be an element of terror in it.
Yeah.
Which is one of my chief frustrations with the Inquisitors that popped up in the Star Wars world after in the new Disney canon that Darth Vader, he forms like the Inquisitors and to help root out and find the last Jedi that survived Order 66.
Uh-huh.
And I just never liked that. I always wanted it more to be it's just Darth Vader hunting them down himself.
Oh, yeah, that sounds better.
Because he's the scary one, the Inquisitors never scared me, in any way, shape, or form. And also, from a Star Wars perspective, it just continues to muddle the mythology and make Order 66 so much less tragic than it actually it's like there's so many surviving Jedi. It's just a whole thing.
Moving on from Star Wars, but your point that
you're not scared of the Inquisitors and you need to be fucking scared of the Inquisitors. That's the point that I'm going
for. An Inquisitor should do beyond what you would see just a traditional villain or bad guy of some kind, like that, you know, the imposing figure who you are scared of, is have a mental competence. That they come at you with a sense of, I know stuff.
I know more than you do, probably.
Or I know, I know enough to be on to you. Okay. It is this, it is a clever cat chasing you. You know, the Hans Landa thinks, even if he doesn't know something in that moment, there's a sense that his spidey sense is on.
Yeah.
And so you should be a little bit more scared than you're talking to any other scary individual. Mm-hmm. This guy will read you like a book.
Totally. And,
that whole scene with the strudel or whatever, that whole thing, there's an intimidation that he just somehow knows something.
Right. At all times.
Yeah. So Inquisitors should have that sense.
I agree.
In whatever way it manifests. But anyway, I think we can probably move on.
Our point is made. What did you bring to the table today?
Founding Fathers. What's your description of your noodles?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm. That sounds creepy.
It is.
You want to go first?
Yep. So the setting for this is a human-led world that is very much tied to or exposed to a spirit world of some kind. You could also put this in a sci-fi universe and have this be aliens. It works both ways, okay? That's important. The trope here is that there is a state or an empire that is run by humans. This is important. They suspect and have found evidence that spirits and or these aliens are walking around disguised as humans among them, and they are trying to root them out. They create this whole campaign of fear about them and get the people turned on them and try, very much create a police state type of environment. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, where it gets interesting for me, is the importance of the Inquisitor body. I haven't figured out a name for them. I love Grand Inquisitor. It has such vibes, but it's been done to death, so I haven't quite figured it out.
For the purpose of this podcast, you can just call it that, yeah.
But the Inquisitors are humans that, through science and or some type of magical ritual, have taken on some of the abilities of either the aliens or the spirits that walk among them. So if you're a human, for example, you are basically taking a spirit that you have captured and bonding with it forcibly in such a way so that you can gain some of its power, so that you can identify other spirits and maybe pass for them, so that you become not just an Inquisitor, but almost an agent of subterfuge, so that you can get in and investigate and pass and navigate amongst these bodies. It also works because it within the spirit community would make them afraid of each other. Because just because someone's a spirit necessarily does not mean that they are actually of your world. It means that they maybe they're just, you know, spirit bound, mm-hmm. right? They're maybe just a spirit bound human. And okay. so that's really what I wanted to play with, is this idea that the thing you are, it's very important to me that it's humans facing a small group of more powerful magical or alien species, but that have found a way to use that magic or use that alien power to counter them okay. in some way and find them and root them out. This whole idea was born from a conversation we had years ago when we said that warlocks would be the most dangerous class to exist in the real world because they can shapeshift as much as they want. They can, without, you know, yeah. infinitely, they can levitate. They can shoot magic lasers, right? Like they have yeah. just through the pacts alone, without yeah. even getting into the rest of the class, they would absolutely destabilize a world.
Yeah.
And so this idea was based on that. I just flipped the power structure.
Okay. So then, what do these body snatcher types want? What's these aliens doing? What are they?
They just want to live.
Okay, so they're not. So this is a pure like you are the other, and we want to root you Correct. Out. Not you're a threat.
Correct.
Oh,
they are perceived as a threat just because they're there and they're different.
It's kind of X-Men-y.
Very X-Men.
Yeah.
Very X-Men. Definitely
hidden.
Yeah.
What is the level of mistrust in this society? Like, are people suspicious? Are regular people suspicious that other regular people might be?
Yes.
Okay.
Regular people are suspicious of other regular people.
All the time.
And the spirits are starting to become suspicious of other spirits because they don't actually know, are you a real spirit or are you an inquisitor that has just taken on some of the traits of a spirit, right? To
yeah.
It infiltrate our world.
In my mind, this is a world where it has a very Russian winter societal vibe to it, where people are very cold, people are not very trusting or friendly to strangers, only to those that they actually know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a standoffishness among mm-hmm. everybody, and the whole tenor of this place is very low-key. In a somewhat hostile way all the time.
It's
you
could
not have this be set in like a lovely little English village where everybody's kind of like, oh, hey, you know, whatever. You know,
No.
Like,
it's a bleak world.
Yeah, it's a bleak world.
It is a bleak world. It is an empty world. And it is also one where the Inquisitors are not. I feel like a lot of Inquisitors end up being very public figures, right? Torquemada yeah. was a very well-known public figure, and yeah. putting it out there like, hey, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be like that. I want it to be
completely hidden.
Much more hidden and underground. Obviously, it can't be completely because the humans need to know that, hey, we're out there. We're protecting you. We're protecting our society.
It's like knowing that the CIA is doing something.
Right.
Like, I don't know. You might work for the CIA, but it's like, okay, but I know that there's spies out there doing this.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you don't know who they are. It's not like the Inquisitors that are clerics walking around in heavy armor. You know what I'm saying? Or the full SS gear that Hans Landa is always wearing. Like, he's not undercover. He
doesn't need to be.
No, well, at all.
I mean, because they also just have all the control. Yeah.
But that's my point.
Yeah. So do they have a central base of operations, or are they completely decentralized?
No, they have a central base. It's in the main capital
okay.
headquarters or somewhere nearby.
So then is there concern that these body snatcher types might infiltrate if they are centralized?
Well, the
and
point...
easy to spot.
They are easy to spot for them because they have all of these other spirits captured. So they... Because they have figured out how to use...
So if you...
How to
if
bond
you
to them or how to mix their blood or something like that... They can tell who spirits are much more easily than the spirits can tell who isn't a spirit.
Yeah. So if you tried to infiltrate, you'd be quickly found out.
Correct.
And you'd be snuffed out. And I assume there's been cases where that's happened. And
I even had the idea of they have found a way to basically capture spirit creatures, almost like a canary in a coal mine, uh-huh. and use them as a test. So basically they've got, you know, creatures in a cage by every door
uh-huh.
that will start screaming if an actual spirit comes through because they recognize their own, right? They've found a way to do that.
Are they
weaponized their people against them, basically.
Are they succeeding?
Yes.
How much? Like, how effective? How long has this been going on, and how long do you think it will last? Is this like a...
I don't know. It's been going on for quite a while, enough that the spirits who are pretty much the protagonists are a little bit on the back foot.
Okay.
It's not like The Matrix where they're starting to gain a little bit of ground and they find this chosen one. Like, these people are very much on the back foot and they're starting to get really desperate.
Okay. Yeah. And then where do they hide?
Which is then the catalyst for the event that starts off the story.
Yeah. Because, I mean, where do you even hide at that point?
In small...
You gotta be like, at that point, you go remote.
Pretty much.
Because you cannot hide in plain sight in the capital, because unless you are fully underground all the time or something.
Because they're everywhere.
Because they're everywhere there, and because that's where they have more of the apparatus to detect.
Correct.
So if you go further away, but then the second, you know, much like that farmhouse in France, the second that guy shows up, you're like, fuck, we're screwed.
We're fucked.
Yeah, we have no recourse. So you try to go to a different country?
Yeah.
You run?
You run.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do.
This is a dark example.
It is.
Yeah.
Give me a light example of an Inquisition.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's more thinking about it, just the full Holocaust. Starting off with the Hans Landa thing, it's really set the mood of the Holocaust, which, like...
But it is.
Yeah.
This is
not a lighthearted topic.
No.
Please see taverns if you want a lighthearted topic.
Like, but this is not that, man. This ain't it. Although, hags would be a good...
Hags would be good inquisitors.
Yeah, hags would be good inquisitors.
Yeah. Hags would be good at hiding you from an inquisition, too.
They would.
They're very good
at... They'd be good at both. I feel like you would have hags doing both, because they're sort of just agents of chaos.
And then to that point, so say, you know, in this world, like, you might have an evolution in the powers, the magic, like, that you... Evolution is at play, and these spirits are in these, you know, body snatchers are going to start obfuscating themselves better. And they will eventually be able to hide again. That might happen. And then they think, and then this Inquisition thinks that they've rooted out everything because they can't find anybody else.
Yeah.
It's been a decade since they found anybody, but it's actually that they evolved further, and they were somehow able to say this Inquisition is using the spirits against them. Then these body snatcher types, they're able to go into the spirit realm themselves and then communicate with these other spirits to say, like, tell them we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, leverage their own kind in a way to get themselves free of this issue. And then maybe the Inquisition comes to an end. They dismantle the whole thing. And then over time, it's then again revealed that they have been here all along, and the Inquisition comes back, and you have kind of that, like, oh, it's the second Inquisition. You know, what we thought had been resolved actually was not resolved. They evolved.
That could be fun. Number one, I like... The second Inquisition as a phrase or a title of an event. Like that.
Yeah, having multiple Inquisitions is good.
I also like that setup of the powers that be trying to wind down the first Inquisition, and then having that very classic archetype of the paranoid human who's like, they're not gone. They're still out there.
I'm telling you, man, they're still here.
Right. And ends up being proven right.
Yeah. Because it's such a trope that you want that person to be like, to not win out, but you know that they're right.
They're like a deuteragonist. Deuteragonist?
Oh,
it's like a secondary antagonist. They're not the primary antagonist.
Yeah, and they're not outwardly evil. Like, from their perspective, you understand what they're up to, but you're like, but I would like you to not...
I don't want you to win.
But you are correct.
You are correct, and also you are typically a charming character of some sort.
Yeah,
or at least funny, endearing or, in some way.
Endearing or
just cool.
Yeah.
So I kind of am rooting for you a little bit. You've got a little bit of that magnificent bastard trope going on, you know?
You magnificent bastard.
You magnificent bastard. But yeah, what about you? What you got?
All right, so we're moving on to my idea. That's a very loud bird. Sorry.
You're a very loud bird.
It's not true. All right, so founding fathers. I'm going full religion on this one. So this is a theocratic state, probably.
Yeah.
Or at least a really strong church of some kind exists.
Yep.
And that church has a permanent inquisition in existence that rotates constantly. It changes all the time, but it is permanent. And I'm going to use like the title of Pope just as a mm-hmm. like a shortcut for head of the religion, but mm-hmm. please substitute your own version of that. I'm going to use Christianity, I think, is a lot of the baseline of this.
Supreme Pontifex is also great.
Oh God, it is good.
It's so good.
Pontifex. We're just going to use Pontifex now. Pontifex Maximus or whatever. You know.
Yeah. Anyway. I think that might be the full Latin title.
Yeah. I think that was a title in ancient Rome.
No. It was. I think it's Pontifex Maximus. But anyway, so the Pontifex.
The Pontifex changes all the time. Much like we have new popes. Sure. With every new Pontifex, they appoint a new inquisitor who will then serve as the inquisitor for the rest of that Pontifex's time.
So it's a lifelong appointment.
Yes. But here's the thing. All the inquisitors are the immortal founding fathers of this church who are either cryo-frozen or put under sleep. They are dead. And then this god gives them free passage in and out of the afterlife peacefully to go serve as inquisitors on behalf of their religion because they are the founding members of it and they know it better than anybody else.
Why would they not just be rotating pontifexes?
Because they want the people of this world to have that control. I don't know. You hand wave it.
Like, you can. I didn't know if you had a reason for it.
No, you were looking at me like why the fuck would you
do that?
Well,
no, because I'm curious. The only reason why I say that is because I have a hard time in any structure or in any world believing that power would voluntarily give up power.
Oh, they're not giving up power, though.
Explain more.
And also, you're assuming they want power. That's not what they want. They want purity of this religion. They want this religion to be run well. So they, one, as inquisitors, because they've been around for a long time, so they also just want to have an easier time. The pontifex has a much harder job. They've got to run the religion. These guys just get to be in the shadows and moving around to wherever they're going, doing inquisition things, which sometimes could be nothing. Sometimes it could be that they have not been seen for a year and a half. Sometimes it could be that they're super active and they will make sure that the tenets of the religion are being adhered to or evolving appropriately. And they basically just get to be a bit of a shadow micromanager where, you know, they only step in when things really need help and otherwise they can kind of chill. And because they've been around forever, they are, you know, these semi-immortal beings, they also just have like a different perspective. It's, you know, like the elven perspective. There's a, like this time changes they have cooler heads because they've been around for so long. They've seen so much shit and, you know, one of them will be, you know, awakened for 30 years at a time and then they'll go back to sleep and they might not be back for another 400 years. Who knows? And then they get to see how things have evolved and it's kind of just this constant flow. And among these, let's say like 10 founding fathers, founding members, you know, let's down with the patriarchy, but yeah.
Several quick and not so quick notes. Quick note. I think you need to pick a more statistically or stereotypically religiously significant number,
like 7 or whatever,
or 9.
Yeah.
Or number 2, very similar to the vampire leadership structure in Underworld in those movies where they leapfrog throughout. They say the phrase, we just leapfrog throughout time. I think that's cool. Third note, more of a question. Do they report to the Pope or are they really...
They operate like fully independently, basically. I think it's more of a relationship.
That gets around my earlier concern about power not giving itself up because if they are the supreme judge, basically, of what is right and wrong, and they find the Pope to be heretical.
The pontifex, excuse me. They would kick them out.
They would kick them out, murder them. Right.
But they would then go back into sleep.
Right. They would not become the pontifex, but the pontifex only serves insofar as they are not investigated by these.
Or like found out to be correct. Heretical or whatever. So then, but a key stipulation
that is
they do not serve consecutively.
No. I know. I got that's, but I meant, I'm trying to figure out the power structure.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're the new pontifex, you would then, decide who you're going to have be your inquisitor and then strike an agreement with them to say, are we on the same page? This is what I would like to do as pontifex. And then, okay, this is your perspective. Cause it's all these, you know, 9 demigods, essentially, they all have their own perspectives and their own personalities that are well established over time. So you know, hey, this guy is the firebrand. I don't want that. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be more progressive or something. I'll use this guy. So you kind of, but you come to those deals with them and see how it plays out. But then it's like a reporting, or it's a collaborative.
I have a note. Okay. I don't like the idea of giving the pontifex the power to choose who would be most beneficial to them. I think that the choice should be up to whoever the inquisitor is at the time when the new pontifex is selected.
Or
they're the ones that says, here's who I think you would actually work best with. Or I actually think it would be best if it was just like there is a set schedule.
Or the people who select the pontifex, how the pontifex is selected, they also select
some form of conclave,
the inquisitor. Yeah. Or having it be, I think maybe it is that the previous inquisitor, no, because the inquisitors then, like,
they, I think they need to be kept fully separate.
Yeah,
I think they need to be,
because you don't want them to be a part of it, because then they have a little thing of like, well, we hate Joe, so we're never going to name Joe.
I don't imagine
two guys forever.
I don't imagine that happening. I think that's also easy to hand wave and just say that they are united as a body, separate from the hierarchy.
And if there was a problem, the deity itself would intervene.
Sure, or some supreme, right? Yeah,
I would say, hey, I'm actually not letting this one go back.
Right,
like they're gonna stay with me for a bit here in the afterlife, and they'll go when I say they're good to go.
Right,
you know, you can figure out the mechanic of that, and I think in the purpose of a story, the mechanic of how they're selected is probably not going to become relevant.
I think it could, because it could create this really interesting tension between the church as a structure and the founding fathers as a structure, much like we sort of see in the modern United States. We have these arguments over
what do they mean,
what did the founding fathers want, and different people are trying to claim based on what they've got. It's like, here you could actually have that tension, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah,
and one is not subject to the other,
and it'd be curious to see if there was an attempt to say, well, what if we end the Inquisition?
Yeah,
no more inquisitors.
Yeah,
we're not awakening any of them.
Yeah,
and then striking a deal with the deity to say, like, will you let us not have this? Please don't awaken them. And we are not going to choose to awaken them. We're going to go ahead without them.
Right.
But maybe this all was instituted because of some colossal mistake that occurred, some disintegration of this church's reputation or its structures or whatever that led them to start having this Inquisition exist. I don't know.
No,
but like, I think, there's tension, but I think, available.
I think that tension is important, though, because I don't want the Inquisition to be a tool of the church if it is also supposed to be subject to it.
I think you're assuming that the Inquisitor would be fully aligned and allied with the Pontifex, and I think in my mind it's more that they would come to some agreement, much like, you know, two mob bosses come to agreement to say, like, hey, I think we can work together well. I think there's synergy here. And then it will eventually start deteriorating and collapsing in different areas, but they still might have areas where they can rely on each other and can get things done. Because if it's pure conflict the whole time, then it just wouldn't even work and they wouldn't have this institution. You need to have it where there is plenty of periods where the Inquisitor and the Pontifex are on the same page with the same mission, but having them be against each other at a time is also really good. So, like, finding that middle ground is important. And part of what I want for this is not to have the Inquisitor be all that obvious all the time. Like I said earlier, they might just disappear for years at a time, and they're still alive and somewhere in the world, but no one knows exactly where they are. They might just be, the Inquisitor might just go be a regular clergy member in the most remote village in this country because they like it. And because it helps them see the grassroots of where is religion at? How do people practice
and
this?
And see, are the tenants actually flowing down to the lowest level?
And so they're more of just like, they're a constant auditor of the religion, who might then just go to the pontifex and say, hey, people are losing their way in this way, that way. Maybe you should allocate resources to solve this, rather than them themselves being like, I'm going to burn everybody at the stake for fucking
up. Oh,
no,
I don't imagine that. I think just trying to keep, for me, the point is the independence from each other.
Yeah.
That's more my thing. That's why I like there's a schedule and you just sort of leapfrog throughout.
Yeah, fair.
But that is I actually like that it is the founding the founding fathers, the founding members, the founding clergy, the founding conclave of the church. I think that was really the
anchor point of what I wanted.
It feels very Warhammery to me. Also,
maybe, but also very underworldy is a good,
very underworldy, but very. But I'm getting also like I think it could be really cool for a space church or
It works
where it wouldn't necessarily. It could just be we have these really long lived aliens that are
But you could also just do it in a space church where it's not aliens. Just we have biotech and these guys are cryofrozen with the greatest technology in the world. And then what if there's the great catastrophe where somebody like cuts off the power supply of that space station and all the founding fathers are lost.
Well, and that's also what I was thinking is I was imagining a time where there would be basically a second conclave.
Yeah. And
that decides these founding fathers don't understand our modern reality. We need to wipe the slate clean and start over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would be a very interesting
and I think that works, power struggle. That works really well, especially in a sci-fi version of this, is to have that. Well, these were just humans.
Right.
Who founded this order, this religion or whatever, but
before we even left Earth.
Yeah. Rather than in a context where the gods are real and that god will be like, well, no, I'm the final say.
Right.
I smite you from upon high, you know, like, and you could do it if you do. Yeah. That's if you have like a high magic setting and, you know,
but it's there's a lot of meat there to play with. And I love, dope.
Cool. End of ideas. Let's move on to our frozen lasagna. What's your 1 minute quick idea? Secondarily.
The annoying Inquisitor. They find the most annoying person they can to annoy subjects until they finally just cave and give up the information that they want. I feel like that's an underutilized tactic.
Hmm. Yeah, probably.
Just like a little kid. Why? But why?
Yeah.
Why?
God.
But why, Kyle? Why? Like, just doing that until you finally break.
Yeah. A friend of mine yesterday was talking about how like she's worried about her daughter just becoming like when she starts doing the why she's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It's gonna drive me crazy. I was like, well, no, that's how humans actually are.
No, but it is. But it's I just think that could be a lot of fun. It feels like an SNL skit.
Yeah,
like the annoying Inquisitor. Yeah.
That is a good SNL.
I think it could also be fun to. It would be a fun character to write into an otherwise serious novel.
Yeah.
Or a serious story. Yeah. It would be just this person is annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
What about you? What you got?
All right. This is more of like a small detail to have an inquisition that, you know, drawing off of the first law of every confession that they get is written down on parchment and they collect them all into tomes. And then they carry each inquisitor has to carry the tomes of every single confession they've ever gotten. So then you have that intimidation
cool.
I have like a trail of chains of books showing all like where I walk and I lumber through a room because you see like 20 books of confessions. I have gotten from people over time.
And especially fun to be able to have that inquisitor go back and double check the claims that they're getting from one person versus the veracity of the truth of another,
and the intimidation of hauling, like, you know, throwing your chains onto the table to put all your books down and then combing through to look for the exact one to really show I have gotten this many people to talk, you will give me the truth, I'm very good at this,
I'm gonna alt, it's a scroll that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
it's a magical scroll that just keeps like the
paper. Or they just keep attaching. They just keep attaching pages to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so you have this massive anime size scroll.
Yeah.
On the back. I think that could be really fun too.
Yeah, cool. All right, what's stuck for you?
I think this whole episode is neat. There isn't one thing really specifically.
I'm going to need you to be more specific.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay. fine.
Imagine that as an inquisition of be more specific. No.
Okay.
Okay. I like the power. I like the power dynamics between, obviously, because I could not get off of it, between the pontifex and the inquisitors in yours.
Yeah.
The importance of the inquisitors being an independent body, I think, is really important, particularly because the nature of an inquisition is to find out truth against what the body is. And then suddenly who comes down to it, if they decide that their truth is, or their perception of things is more important than what the standard power structure says, you will have a power imbalance inevitably, right? So I think that that's why I like that independence. I think that's fun. I also, I love the twistedness in mine of finding a way to turn the spirit animals into alarms to detect other spirit creatures as a way of, it's, that was one of my more fucked up ideas.
Yeah.
You said that really, really with a blissful smile on your face.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, that's what stuck for me. What about you?
I think the reframing of the idea of Inquisition overall really stuck for me, like the Hans Landa point. That really stuck for me because it shows that you can think about this from a different angle than I think most of us are. And so it's for the first time ever, the preamble to our ideas is what stuck for me. It's like that. It's the Darth Vader. It's the fear of an Inquisitor really stuck for me. And then I also really like My Frozen Lasagna for its simplicity of just I love a good little detail that's like the popcorn world building of like the books or the scroll, like that whole thing. But
super fun.
But overall, I think it's the framing of Inquisition.
I think you're right.
That sticks for me because it will probably help me come up with more Inquisition ideas after this episode because now I'm thinking about it from a different angle.
Especially when you think of Hans Landa, he doesn't come in and say I'm a detective. He doesn't come in and say I'm the Grand Inquisitor. He just introduces himself as Colonel Hans Landa of the SS.
Yeah, and then asks for milk.
Right, and so you might think this is a completely normal, not benign, but a completely non-inquisitorial person. Yeah. And then the conversation changes very quickly.
Yeah, well, in the context of that world makes it very clear to all the characters involved.
Right.
Definitely not a safe guy to talk to.
Right.
But if you're new to that story or you don't know history, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, well, this is a guy and
this is a cop.
There's a tension here. What's going on? But we know the SS and we know what's going on. And we know that now we know there's Jews under the floorboard being like, so there's all context that makes that so layered. But if you just started a story and they start with that scene and you swap out the SS thing mm-hmm. and the title of Colonel, you could play it all over again in a different mm-hmm. different world.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.